Hey everyone, welcome to The Geek Awakens, where the talk is geekier than deciding what is logistically the best route for Santa to take. Joining me tonight is Matt.
Hello.
Tabitha.
Hi.
Lydia.
Hi.
And Pickett.
Hello.
So, and I'm Mitch. I would just also like to point out that, like, a couple weeks ago when it was just the three of us, and you were both like, man, I like it when, you know, like, when these things are a surprise. And now that they are a surprise, and I don't always have your vote of confidence, like...
Sometimes they're terrible.
Whatever.
I'm just curious, did you figure out what the best route would be?
No, I haven't. But, I'm just saying, he needs to work with time zones, not against time zones. Gains an hour each time.
Just trying to help out.
So. I'm sorry I asked. Me too.
Anyway, so before we get started on tonight's show, there are a few people that we'd like to thank, because this is going to be the last show of the year for us. First off, we had a chance to interview some awesome people over the year. I know I'm going to forget a lot of people, but just off the top of my head, to name a few, thanks to Mark Shepard, Kyle Higgins, everyone with the Mid-State Game Huddle, Genki Goth Studios, Windy City Ghostbusters, Dalton McGee, and Kevin Klein. You haven't heard Kevin's interview yet because this week was kind of hectic and I forgot to put it up on Monday like I said I was going to.
Good
Sorry,
job.
Kevin. Also, thanks again to LodgeCon, Wizard World, C2E2, and Springfield MicroCon for allowing us to cover their conventions. We look forward to the chance to cover next year as well. Also, thanks to Lion Forge, Vault, Tokyo Pop, and Silver Sprocket for giving us material, whether it was in the form of press releases or previews of your books. Also, a special shout-out to Megan and Not Seth for your help at cons, and in the case of Not Seth, for the help in transitioning to our podcast format. Which actually brings us to the people who are listening. Thanks to you. We had an interesting year with this transition, and we're still working out some of the bugs, but thanks for sticking along with us, or for checking us out if you didn't find out about us until after we made the switch. So, is there anybody else that needs to be thanked that I forgot? I mean, there probably is. But...
Yeah, there probably is. We'll remember after we finish recording.
That's typically how it works.
Yeah, that'll be a thing. So, So before we get started on our end of year spectacular, is it a spectacular?
I guess it
is spectacular.
So before we get started, we did get a chance to read a couple of things from both Lionforge and Vault. Starting off, Superb number 15 came out yesterday. Actually, all these things I'm going to talk about briefly all came out yesterday. And I had fallen behind on Superb, like I have with a lot of the Catalyst Prime titles. But, so I took the opportunity to get caught up, and Superb number 15 for me was really good, because it's kind of, it's going in a different direction. We don't actually see Kayla at all this issue, and from the description, it kind of sounds like she's out of the picture now. But this issue dealt a lot with Jonah's Down syndrome, which something that obviously it's part of his character. It's something that we've known about since before this series ever came out. But I feel like this issue dealt with it more than any of the others have.
Mm-hmm.
Also, and I don't know if it's going to be like a thing for this whole arc or whatever, but as you guys might remember, Jonah's character, our superhero name, is Cosmosis, which is based off of like his favorite comic book character. We get Cosmosis' origin story in this issue.
Nice.
So that was fun. It was a nice little side story. But yeah, so definitely check out Superb from Lionforge. Also from Vault, Submerged number 4 came out yesterday, and it was actually the series finale for this. And this one was also way more introspective than I kind of thought, like, because the other issues, I mean, they have, like, it's dealt with her family, and it all came to a head with this issue. Mm-hmm. And really, like, I don't want to spoil too much, because I know, even though you guys hadn't got a chance to read it, I know that we all really mm-hmm. enjoyed the first couple of issues of it. I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm going to say the last maybe 5 or 6 pages were really, I think touching is about the best word for it.
Uh-oh.
I mean, Tabitha's going to cry.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys know me well.
So, and then also, Friendo number 3 came out. Mm-hmm. And this series, I swear, like, every issue, it's taking a turn for the weird in a fantastic way. Like, again, I don't want to go too much into it, but it does start off with Leo, Leo and Jerry attempting to rob what is basically a Walmart knockoff at gunpoint.
Oh no.
Yeah. And things kind of escalate from there. He gets out of it, interestingly enough, but yeah. This is a fun ride, and yeah, I can't wait for issue 4. So
that's the one I'm sad I didn't get to this week, because I really like that.
Yeah, when you get a chance, you need to check it out. So we did also get a press release from Vault a couple days ago, and I'm going to just kind of go through it real quick. Vault Comics has acquired Interceptor. It's a best-selling sci-fi comic book created by Danny Cates and Dylan Burnett. It's going to return to print as a gold level free comic book day selection in May. And then following that in June, it's going to have a collected edition will be available in trade paperback.
Okay, cool.
So yeah. Just going off of the cover alone, I'm kind of interested in this.
That looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah. So, definitely check that out once Free Comic Book Day rolls around. So, all right, guys. So, this is something we did for the last show of the year last year, and we all really enjoyed it, or at least I enjoyed it, and you guys are placating me. I'm not really for sure which is which.
Sounds right.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, so, probably.
So, we're going to start off, we're going to talk about some of our favorite things. Not the song.
Thank God.
some of our favorite things that happened this year. And Pickett, let's start with you. What was your favorite moment of the year?
My favorite moment of the year. Now, there were a lot of things I could have gone with. And I was really struggling with this myself because I wasn't really sure exactly. It's tough. To decide. So I had to pick between two, and I decided not to pick between two and just to use both of them. My favorite parts of this year was our interview with Mark Shepard and the Black Panther movie. Or Black Panther movie.
Nice. So, I guess, so like, what was it about those two that made you choose those moments as your favorite moment of the year?
So for the Mark Shepard interview, the biggest thing for me was the fact that we got it. And that was, to me, probably the biggest. I wouldn't call it the biggest achievement of the year, but it was definitely one of my favorite parts. It's something I worked really hard to get, and when I did get it, I was super stoked. Even though I wasn't necessarily on camera for that interview, I was there. It was awesome. As for Black Panther, it was almost my surprise of the year, but it was just a really, really good movie. And for me, that I'm a movie fan through and through. I could see movies every day of the week and be completely happy. And that, to me, was probably the best movie of the year.
For me, my favorite thing of the year has actually been everything that... I mean, Scotty Young has put in work mm-hmm. this year. Mm-hmm. And it's been very much appreciated on my end. He wrapped up on I Hate Fairyland, which I'm still getting caught up on that. I'm about halfway through that series. And it's so wonderfully weird. And I'm mad that I didn't read it, you know, as it was coming mm-hmm. out. But then so he wrapped that up and then started in on writing for Deadpool, which I think I've told you guys before, like I was this close to dropping Deadpool from my pull list, and then I heard that Scotty Young is taking over. I'm like, okay, he stays. but Scotty Young has also done other creator-owned works throughout the year, like both Bully Wars and Middle West, which Middle West, the second issue just came out yesterday. I haven't got a chance to read it yet, but yeah, both completely different types of books, but still both, like, wildly entertaining. I mean, Bully Wars is just hilarious, in my opinion. But yeah, so I mean, like, straight up, props to Scotty Young. But yeah, that's my favorite moment of the year. Tabitha, you've got a fun one.
As usual. very specific, too. I love that. Have you guys met me? So, as who I am, coming from my Lin-Manuel Miranda news desk. I feel like it would be better than that because it's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh. He hasn't gotten back to me, is all I'm saying.
I'll text him. on Friday, November 30th at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Lin-Manuel Miranda received his much-deserved star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and it brought the most joy to my heart. at the ceremony, he was introduced by Broadway icon Rita Moreno and Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay.
Of all people.
As one should be. If I ever get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame...
Weird Al.
Weird Al. Okay.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, that's something else that I've noticed, like, because what was it when Weird Al, because he got his star, though, this year as well.
He did.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda was the person who informed Weird Al that he was getting it. So, like, they're, like, bros and we just didn't know about it?
They're buds. They hang. I could probably get a send-in with Weird Al, though.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. They're both really good with words.
True. She's not wrong. Yeah. It was well deserved. It made me so happy. I tried not to like geek out about it and watch the Twitter feed, but I totally did anyway.
because why not?
Right, exactly.
Nice. Lydia, let's talk about your favorite moment of the year.
I actually had difficulty with this one, but I finally decided The Incredibles 2 was definitely a favorite moment. It was a long time coming. It took 14 years for them to make this movie. It was, well, worth the wait. It was really well done. There were some, like, little quirks that didn't really match up with the first one, but they were completely overshadowed by everything else about the movie. There was a spotlight put on so many really great female characters, and just overall look of it was great. And can we just talk about how amazing Jack-Jack is? Because, let's be honest, he's the best part of the entire movie.
His plethora of powers.
Yes! Just so many powers. It made me very happy.
So, Matt, what was your favorite?
I kind of had the same issue that Pickett did. I had a couple of things that kind of really stood out to me. And I know I'm going to get crap for this one, but like the Teen Titans Go movie, Teen Titans Go to the Movies, was just awesome. Like, my little boys have latched onto the series, so I've seen countless episodes of it, and it's fun, it's irreverent, it's toilet humor, but it, I don't know, there's just something about it, there's a charisma to the whole thing, and the movie just from beginning to end is awesome. Plus the movie itself has an awesome like moral to it, and like a lot of those kids movies do, they kind of bury it under everything else. But like, you go through the whole thing and you realize that it's really about them believing in themselves and being the heroes that they feel like they should be. And that's like, that's a big thing for kids, just not just with superheroes, but just in general, like to believe that you can be whatever you want to be. And like, I really appreciated that in and amongst all of the toilet humor. which I don't know how that really coincides, but it does. And then my other one is, this was something Tabitha and I both were looking forward to this year, from last year, was Victoria Schwab released two books this year, which that alone is amazing. She released City of Ghosts, which is actually a middle grade novel, and then her sequel to Vicious, which is Vengeful. I read both of them, and they were both absolutely just as phenomenal as I expected them to be. I know we're not getting a sequel to Vengeful for a long time, but I know we're getting a sequel to City of Ghosts soon, and I can't wait, just because everything she does is just fantastic and awesome. So that just like probably the two best books I've read this year, hands down.
Nice. So, we're actually going to switch and talk about some things that weren't our favorites for 2019. And Matt, I want to actually start with you again. Because yours, it's not one that I really thought of, but you're absolutely right.
So my least favorite thing for the year was the crowdfunding campaign by the internet, whoever these people were, to remake The Last Jedi because they hated it. Like, just shut up and go away. Like, I understand it's the internet. You have your right to your opinion, kind of. But, like, that whole thing that it, like, that it had followers, that it made money, like, that people were on board with that. I just absolutely blew my mind that they did that.
Yeah. And blows my mind, but at the same time, not really surprised at all.
No.
Because the internet?
Because the internet. My least favorites for this year, and I had two, and I kept going back and forth, and I couldn't decide which one I didn't like more.
I hated them both equally.
Right. The first one for me was Doomsday Clock. It was an interesting story, but I had to stop reading it because there were too many gaps between issues. I want to say it's what, going like every other month or something like that?
Issue 8 just came out.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be 12 issues, one per month, ending in December.
Yeah. So, I would read an issue and then wait literally forever for a new one, and the next one comes out, and by this point, like, I have completely forgotten everything. Like, I have no idea what's going on. So I finally had to drop it, and, you know, I'm going to wait until it's completely done, and then I'm going to go back and reread the whole thing, and maybe my opinion will change on it. The other thing that didn't do it for me this year was Spider-Geddon, which it's, in my opinion, it's kind of an unnecessary sequel to Spider-Verse, which was a great event a couple years ago. Though, to be fair, the last issue came out yesterday, and I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. So maybe that last issue is going to make it all better, but...
Mm-hmm. Not likely.
Probably not likely. Pickett, let's talk about your least favorite thing.
Okay, so I struggle with this particular issue every year. It's just something that happens, and it's not just... my least favorite thing this year was the iPhone XS, or the XS Plus, or any of the new... Basically, Apple in general.
We got it, Pickett.
But here's my issue. Now, I use an Apple computer, and I have an iPad. I have all those things, and they're fine. They're great, but here's the problem. They release these things every year, and they're like, oh, it's got a new cooler camera. And you're like, I mean, it's yeah, sure. It's a cooler camera, but that's really the biggest upgrade you've made, maybe. Maybe it's the biggest upgrade you've made. You know, they're just putting them out to put them out. You know, why not just say, hey, you know, this isn't really an upgrade, but it's got a better processor, so here you go. I mean, it's like, I get so frustrated with all cell phone companies because that's what they do. You know, I'm not getting a Samsung Galaxy Note 9 because my Note 8 works pretty much the same way, except for the new S Pen is kind of cool. But that's about at least they made an effort to do something different. But iPhone and Apple, they didn't. They just did the same old, same old. And, oh, we've upgraded this and this, but it's just another phone. It does the same things that your last phone did. It may have a few software upgrades, but you can get those on the other phones, too. So there's that.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my thing.
And plus, like, I don't know. I wasn't really a fan of the whole, like, you know, the name of it, just in generally, the XS.
Right. which, by the way, they didn't sell an excess amount of these iPhones.
Zing. Maybe they used some excess time to come up with a better name.
I mean, Steve Jobs is dead, guys. They're running on fumes.
So, Tabitha, what What didn't you like about this year?
Guys, I can't get over it. I think about it every day.
Literally every day.
Literally every day this crosses my mind.
It's a good thing we didn't find out about this sooner then.
Well, I mean, the election happened.
I know.
I can't get over the fact that the guy who won the congressman election in Virginia wrote Bigfoot erotica. I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I do. It crosses my mind like every day. Every time I'm like reading something about politics, like I think about freaking Denver Riggleman, from the Republican from Virginia, who lost to Leslie Cockburn, and I can't get over it. What kind of world do we live in that the possibility of all that fell into play? I hate everything. So, I can't let it go. I just can't.
So, you know how, like, when you have a song stuck in your head, like, a good way to get the song out of your head is just to listen to the song?
Don't even suggest it. I'm not going to be reading The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him. This would sound like a beach read for me.
I'm just saying.
Scary that she knows the title, though.
Looking at the article.
Oh. You have it bookmarked?
Yes, I do.
So she can look at it every day while she thinks about it.
Yes!
I'm just saying, you could just get it out of your system.
I can't handle it. Pretty much just the only reason he lost the election is because good old Cockburn found it on his Twitter and retweeted it. Like, and everybody was like, ew, gross. I'm gonna go vote for this Democrat who didn't write Sasquatch erotica. Bye.
So. Cockburn instead of Bigfoot erotica.
God.
I mean...
Like Riggleman's any better for the last name.
Exactly. I can't let it go. I'm so sorry. This may be my least favorite thing next year. I still can't let it go.
We have now learned that Tabitha is not Elsa.
I can't. Nope. No. Wish I could freeze things with my hands. That'd be convenient.
Like Bigfoot?
No, it's not a good thing. Everybody would be frozen and dead, and it's just not a good idea.
Pickett, how often do I touch people?
Well, that's valid, but, like, at the same time, you wouldn't have to touch somebody to freeze them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Get some of those sweet gloves.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, like, I've seen some of your icy glares. I think that's all that you would need.
Yeah. You're just have to look at someone.
So, before we give Tabitha any more ideas, Lydia, let's talk about your least favorite thing of the year.
See, again, I had to, like, think about this, but Telltale Games closing down is kind of horrible. There were a lot of good games that they had going and a lot of things that they had in the works, and now none of that's going to happen. And I'm really sad about that, because they had some good things lined up, and now it's just a bunch of people are out of jobs, and... Yeah, there's some good games that are just not going to happen now, and it makes me sad.
And like we had talked about, it's even just like just the simple fact that how sudden it was, you know, it seemingly came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and just all of a sudden you walk into work and oh, by the way, we're closing the company down.
Yeah. God, I can't get that lucky.
Should have worked for Chelsea.
So. Let's go ahead and talk about our biggest surprise of the year. Whether it's...
hey, Mitch.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
And I'm sure we're going to cover it, so feel free to cut this out if you need to. But are we going over shames tonight as well? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. I was going to remind people. I had a note to myself. Oh, let's pick it.
I also had it in my show notes as well. After we get done with everything, we are going to have a final shame bell count.
Okay, sorry. I was just curious. So, anyways, moving on.
Don't you worry. We're all going to find out how many shames I had this year.
It's a pretty epic number, let me tell you.
So let's go ahead and talk about our biggest surprise of the year. And this is something it could either be something that we didn't think we were going to like, but ended up liking, or vice versa. Going into it, thought we were going to love it. And left hating it. And Lydia, I want to start with you again.
Okay. So my thing that I was surprised about is there was a show released on Netflix this year called Disenchantment. It's from the creators of The Simpsons and stuff like that. I'm not a huge fan of Simpsons or Family Guy or any of those kind of shows, really. And one day, I went on lunch. I didn't have time for a full episode of, like, Supernatural, so I just threw it on just to have some background noise. And I ended up watching this show and continuing to watch it even when I wasn't on my lunch break and realized, it's stupid, but I love this show. And all of a sudden, wait, there's plot happening and there's character development and, oh great, it's only 10 episodes long and they left it on a cliffhanger. This sucks. So, yeah.
Nice.
I'm like super surprised that I just ended up falling in love with this show and now I'm mad that I have to wait for the next season.
I hear you. Like, I watched, I think I saw maybe the first two, maybe three episodes when I was flying out to Seattle earlier this year, and I really enjoyed it. But we've talked millions of times how I operate with streaming service, so haven't seen the rest of it. But but yeah, you're right. It is. It's a fun, warm show, you know, with also plenty of the kind of humor that you would expect from The Simpsons mm-hmm. or Futurama yep. or what have you. So, Tabitha, we're going to switch to you because you had kind of a different take on a different property.
I started this year, so I think it might have actually been the thing I was looking forward to most for this year.
It was.
Wasn't it? It was Crimes of Grindelwald, and I hated that movie. I hated it so much. When the redeeming quality is how hot Jude was, I have a problem.
The baby nifflers didn't even help?
The baby nifflers didn't even help.
It's because they weren't hot.
So I have to ask. What about it put you off so bad?
Oh my god. The plot holes, the plethora of references to things that were like, J.K. Rowling was like, this has been canon this whole time. And I'm like, you're a lying sack of whatever. The, like, very obvious, like, references to our current political climate. Like, it was just, this was just so full of just crap. Had to edit myself. That I couldn't deal with it. Like, I went with two other people, and one person was like, oh, this is really good. And me and the other person were like, really? 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 The entire time. Like, I rolled my eyes more in that movie than I've ever rolled my eyes at Mitch.
Wow.
Whoa!
That is saying something.
Like, I walked out of there and my eyes hurt. Like, I had to go home and put my glasses on because my eyes were weak from rolling around in my head so much. I hated the ending. The acting was crap. The, like,
forced love stories?
Yes. And then they crammed like 54 plot lines into this 2-hour movie, and I'm pretty good at paying attention. And I'm like, can I get the freaking Cliff's Notes? Like, who? Like, where are we? What are we doing? And then I had to go to the bathroom because I'm me and I go to the bathroom all the time. I came back and I missed 36 things. I peed for 4 seconds. I don't know how that worked. Like, I got back and I'm like, hey, what'd I miss? And person I went with was like, oh, you missed this, and you missed this. I was like,
She is not wrong, guys. I also had to pee during this movie, and I missed way too much.
Yeah, you can't go to the bathroom. Like, you literally can't, because you miss the storyline of 56 people that you don't even give two craps. Oh, God, I hated it so bad.
And you get a storyline for a person that's not even going to be in the next movie. Like, right. why go to the backstory of that?
You gave me all these characters in Fantastic Beasts to, like, be like, oh, and you, like, build these relationships with them, and then they get into this movie, and they suddenly completely and totally switch their personality characteristics. They're like, JK, and I'm like, I get it, because JK Rowling, but this isn't funny. So frustrating. Like, I want to go back and watch it and see what I missed in those 4 seconds I was in the bathroom, but, like, at the same time, I know if I do, I'm going to be even more irritated, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to sit down and watch it.
I mean, could you maybe, like,
I could have watched it on mute and just watched Jude Law and had a better time.
What if, like, when it comes out on home video or whatever.
On home video?
Wow.
Home video.
Right?
Whatever. Don't judge me. So, okay. When it comes out on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Maybe, like, find out exactly when you were gone and just watch that snippet.
I won't be able to tell. There's 37,000 plot lines. I'll have no idea. I couldn't even tell you right now what I missed it or what I missed. I know that I left, and when I came back, someone was dead that we hadn't even met yet when I went to the bathroom. That is a real fact. I got up before we met somebody. I came back, and that person was already dead.
I have a feeling I know what you missed.
That yes. Yep. And I'm like, who's that? And, like, the person who was with me explained, and I'm like, who? Huh? She was like, yeah, she just got here. And I'm like, yeah, well, now she's dead. So I'm glad she had a point in her existence.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep, I did not miss that part.
Oh, I did. And that's what happens when you go to the bathroom. Someone dies.
Okay, no one goes to the bathroom tonight quick. Then.
Wow.
I mean, in all fairness, when I went to the bathroom, somebody was dead as well. So it's not just that Tabitha on this.
I hate that movie. I'm so angry. Ezra's cheekbones and Jude Law didn't even make up for it.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'll step down off my soapbox.
That was intense.
It was.
Man, that's been building for a while. I thought you might talk to you about it.
Dude, I told you to call me.
I know, I'm so sorry.
I'm glad that we could be here for you.
I needed to have a therapy session with Lydia before we started the show.
We're not a podcast or a support group.
It's so true, though.
We kind of are, though.
We are the geek awareness.
Maybe we should make two banners for lunch.
Well, yes. Hold on a second. Have we explained that to anybody yet?
I don't know.
Not since we went podcast.
I don't know that we have, yeah, since we switched.
No.
So, at LodgeCon, and then we'll get back into this, but... So, at LodgeCon this year, we had an actual banner made, which it was... And this is not to bust you out, Pickett, but it is kind of important to the story. So, we had this great banner made, and we leave for LodgeCon at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, and Pickett forgets the banner. It sucks, but it is what it is. And so we get up there and, you know, Patrick says, oh, well, you know, you can print something off if you want to. I mean, it's not going to look fantastic, but it is what it is. So here's our logo on what? Like
five pieces of paper.
Taped together.
Yeah. Just regular, you know, normal computer paper taped together. And...
In black and white, mind you. Not even color.
Hey, well, you're right. It was a color. I thought... For whatever reason, I thought that we still managed to get color out of it.
No.
And so we had... It was just the one guy that said this, right? Or...
I think so.
Yeah, there was just one.
Yeah, it was just the one guy. But this guy comes up to us, and he's like, what's the geek awareness?
And we're like, what?
Yeah. And so we correct him and tell him what we are, and he promptly leaves.
He was concerned when we were in the geek awareness. He probably would have made a donation if we would have told him something.
Yeah.
I thought about that now, a year later. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'm going
to... Well, next year, right?
Right.
We get the banner next time.
Maybe we should put out like a donation jar for the geek awareness.
Make it a secondary thing.
Here's the thing, though, guys. We're explaining this like on air, and I'm probably going to be too lazy to edit this part out. So, anybody who's listening and then sees us at LodgeCon will know that we're just...
Geek awareness.
Well, no, like, if we try to, donations. Like... Yeah, if we try to have, like, some kind of fake donation page, like, they're gonna call us out.
I wasn't saying it was gonna be fake. We need gas money to get there.
Yeah.
It's true.
Food is important. True. Geeks.
So... Anyway, so, moving on, or going back to our,
topic of best discussion.
Of, yeah. So my biggest surprise of the year was, and even though I haven't seen it yet because it officially comes out tomorrow. Official. Fish. Philly.
Wow.
We couldn't go this last episode without a shame. That's all I'm saying. comes out tomorrow. But the fact that DC has made me care about Aquaman has been the most surprising fact of the year for me. Like, I went into last year knowing that I would probably see Aquaman. Just for the simple fact, you know, it's part of the cinematic universe. You know, whether it's a big thing or a little thing, like, I'm sure it's going to be connected to the DCEU as a whole. So I'm going to see it. Mm-hmm. And then they had really good trailers. And I'm like, what is going on here? And like, even with the Pitbull song that was released last week. And I don't like to read reviews, especially if I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've seen a couple of headlines for reviews that aren't promising. Mm-hmm. But still, even with those things, like, I want to see this sooner rather than later. Matt, let's talk about your biggest surprise.
So, my biggest surprise is something that is fairly personal. That, I guess if people have listened, they know that I write in my spare time. And this year, I was quite successful in those endeavors. And not that I hadn't put in the work, but it really just kind of surprised me to see some of those things take off. You know, at the end of last year, I knew that I had one story that was coming out in March. I actually counted, and I have in the last week received two more acceptances. I have 9 acceptance. I have 9 stories accepted throughout the entire calendar year. I am at this point have 3 anthologies that will be coming out with my stories between now and March.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So I'm like super geeked about that. I'm super excited because I put in a lot of work. I tried really hard. I was really afraid even in early on in the year that it just wasn't going anywhere. And then to have seen that success, and to have been inspired to like keep going and build on that. I've just been so pleased with that, on my own end. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Putting in work.
Yeah.
So, Pickett, let's talk about, okay. And maybe I should have changed my answer with Aquaman. I think my biggest surprise of the year is what your biggest surprise of the year is, Pickett. Like, not the actual surprise, but the fact that you're surprised about this. But go ahead.
Right. So we've been going through Avengers movies like crazy in the last several years. And I was actually really losing my interest in any of them. Because it just seemed like the same thing over and over again. They would change a few things. And then we got Infinity War. And while I wasn't like over the moon, I had to see this movie, I saw it. I saw it with Mitch opening night. Mitch and Evan, actually. Or not Seth, if you will. And it was probably the biggest shock to me as to how much I enjoyed this film. I saw it 3 times in theaters.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Which for me is huge, because I enjoyed it so much. It was just probably the biggest shock to me as to how much I enjoyed watching this film and how much I enjoyed watching it 3 times in theaters. It was so well done. I cannot applaud Marvel enough for what they did with this film, and it made me super excited about so many other things happening in the Marvel Universe that I'm just super stoked about. It was such a good movie.
I just, yeah, like, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was a phenomenal movie. I mean, definitely has earned all the praise that it's gotten. But, like, I went into it being excited. Like, I didn't know that your excitement had kind of waned a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it had a little bit. Just because of all the movies they put out so far, and I wasn't really, like, I was excited about seeing it just because I wanted to see a movie and I'm a movie guy. So, but when I watched it, I was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
So moving on, this is our last subject. Let's talk about next year. And since, you know, kind of keeping with Avengers, Matt, we're going to start with you and talk about your surprise. Or not your surprise, but what you're looking forward to. You know what I mean.
I do. And I do have to agree with Pickett, like, that Infinity War was absolutely amazing. The amount of information they were able to cram into that succinctly and just without confusion, basically, in that 2.5 hours was absolutely amazing. And that basically leads me to not being able to wait for Endgame. You know, we have a teaser trailer. We really still have no idea what's going to happen based on that teaser trailer. It gave us really no information. Other than NASA's going to try and help find Tony Stark. But to know, I think part of it is knowing that this is the end of so much buildup for Marvel and the MCU. And we know that there's things coming. We know that they're expanding. There's going to be more movies. But like, this is a very, very specific end to a very specific story that they've been building for a long time. And I am, especially with how well Infinity War was done, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this all ties up and having a very, very good feeling that it's not going to be one of those things where you get to the end of it and it's, oh, look, here's this neat little pretty bow and a box and everything's hunky-dory. You know that that's not going to happen. There's going to be loss. There's going to be people, like characters that you're sad to see go. And it's one of those things that we've wanted kind of for a long time, is that some of these characters are not untouchable. They're not immortal, you know. And yes, it's going to suck to see them go, but I know that it's in good hands with the Russo brothers, and I'm really excited to see how that all plays out.
So that was actually what I had written down as my favorite thing of the, or what I'm looking forward to for next year as well. But I wanted to come up with something different because that would have been the only time that there was like a double up, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I'm most looking forward to for next year is Pickett's wedding.
Aww.
Oh, suck up. Nice! In all fairness, I am also very much looking forward to my wedding.
I hope so.
If you start not to, can you maybe let Megan know?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that would happen. My answer to my like, most looking forward to is definitely like, you know, geek related. Definitely not like, you know, personal. In my personal life, absolutely. The most thing I'm looking forward to is my wedding. I'm super stoked about it happening next month. I feel like I'm like promoing it. I don't know. What is that about?
Are we going to do a live episode? Yeah.
Oh, did we get a teaser trailer for the wedding?
I'm going to make one. It's officially what I'm doing tonight. With the rest of, I was going to make candy. No, screw that. I'm making a promo for my wedding.
That's a much better idea.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm stoked for that.
Well, and for those of you don't know, Mitch is actually a starring role in our wedding. He's going to be one of my groomsmen, so there is that.
Don't go to the bathroom, though. I might die.
Oh, no.
No one's ever
great.
Going to the bathroom.
Now my entire wedding, I'm going to be thinking about I can't go to the bathroom. Mitch might die.
Good job, Mitch.
I feel like that one's my fault.
Way to go.
Well.
And then when I get too drunk while dancing, I'm going to pee myself, and it's all going to be your fault, Mitch. I just want you to think about that.
Oh, man. That's wonderful.
No, it's not.
I mean, I...
Pickett, you peeing yourself at your wedding is wonderful.
You might want to rethink your groomsmen.
I'm just saying, you may want to rethink the tuxedo. You might want to just go ahead and buy that instead of renting it.
Look, I know what you guys are thinking, you know, what am I going to do about it? And I'm going to tell you this right now. Well, it depends.
Oh, God.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Can I borrow this?
You can. Pick it, you just got shamed.
Wait, who got that shame?
You did.
Dang it.
So, okay, Picky, you're still behind me.
So is everyone.
Yeah. Still combined, we do not add up to you.
You know what? I'm going to take that as a compliment. So, Pickett, let's talk about what you're surprised or what you're excited for next year.
You can't figure your stuff out tonight, man. No, I am super, super excited. And what really is crazy, it's almost my surprise excitement. We're going to combine the two because I wasn't aware that I was excited about this film until Infinity War. I cannot wait for Captain Marvel. I mean, I cannot wait.
Yeah, especially with the latest trailer that we've gotten. I've been excited about it for a while anyway, but like that second trailer has really kind of has pumped it up for me. Like I'm ready to go for this one.
Oh, absolutely. And while I was excited for the next Avengers movie, like, I couldn't wait for that, I'm really, really interested to find out how this character is going to play any role in that, because I've never, personally, I have no introduction to Captain Marvel whatsoever. So I am super stoked about it.
Now, are you going to continue to be, to go into that movie blind at this point, or are you going to do any kind of research on the character before?
I think at this point it would be best if I go in blind, only because I don't want to like have anything ruined for me. I don't want to learn anything new until I see the film.
And you know what? And that's a good route to take. It really is. So
now after the film, I may do some like, you know, depending on how much I enjoy it, I may do some research just to, you know, original comics and kind of see where that goes from there. But for now, definitely going in blind, if you will.
Nice. So, Tabitha, what does 2019 have in store for you?
We'll see. but also, the final season of Game of Thrones, season 8, coming in April. It's over. It's done. I'm not ready.
Neither is George R.R. Martin.
George R.R. Martin's not ready for anything. At this point, for the last two seasons, we've been off the book. What?
So he's not even ready for this jelly?
Now, every time I look at George R.R. Martin, I'm going to think about his body being too bootylicious for me, baby. So, thanks.
That's what friends are for.
Is it? Is that what it is? I don't think that's what it's for.
We've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Which has been doing it wrong for this whole time. it's coming out in April. I am very prepared for this. I'm not emotionally prepared because I have this terrible feeling that all the people I love are going to die because it's Game of Thrones and that's how that works. But I'm ready for a conclusion. I'm ready. Like, I'm not ready for it to be over, but I'm ready to find out how it ends, if that makes any sense. I'm probably going to do that thing where I don't watch it as it comes out because I'm the new Mitch and I have a hard time watching TV. But
if you're the new me, you need to step up your pun game.
There's only so much room in this kitchen for all four of us, all of this equipment, and your puns. It's already close quarters. I'm not trying to make it worse. I'm a little claustrophobic. But everything that's
look, I'm not even in the same room, but she is not wrong.
Thanks, Pickett. Every time something new is released, a new trailer, a new snippet, a new photo, a new anything about this, like, I just get more excited. I'm ready. I'm ready for this to happen.
So. Lydia, what's 2019 looking like for you?
I mean, as far as what I'm looking forward to, I'm not looking very far ahead because I'm only looking to the end of January. But Kingdom Hearts 3 is finally happening. It's finally coming out. Me and the rest of the people that have been playing Kingdom Hearts have been waiting for this game for 13 freaking years.
Has it been that long?
Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in 2005.
Wow.
There have been 8 games, you guys. 8 games! But we have not gotten to Kingdom Hearts 3 yet. I am so ready for this game. Like, you have no idea.
So, like, nobody's going to see Lydia for, like, a month after the game comes out.
Yeah, no, nope. I'm just going to be playing it and getting all the secret endings and everything else. So, yeah. They're going to be
also, once she's finished with Kingdom Hearts 3, maybe they'll finally start coming out with Epic Mickey 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I remember go ahead.
Because, fun fact, I am a huge fan of the Epic Mickey games.
They're very good.
I remember when Epic Mickey first came out, like, I thought about playing it. Never did, but I was like, huh, that looks fun.
It's very clever to game design. Yeah. But yeah, I'm so excited for Kingdom Hearts 3, you guys. Like, there's so many awesome worlds that they've, like, released in the trailers. Like, there's Tangled and Big Hero 6 and Toy Story and I need it. I need it right now.
Well, thankfully, you only have a couple more weeks.
Yeah. But sadly, my bank account is not as ready as my brain is because I don't have the money for a PS4.
Oh.
So that's a problem.
So now we
see. I was in that situation with the Batman, oh gosh, the Arkham series was out. They released the last Arkham game, and it was, of course, for Xbox One only, so I had to buy an Xbox One just to play that game.
I'll be honest, the Kingdom Hearts series is the reason I own most of the game consoles that I own. It's the reason I have a DS, it's the reason I have a PSP, it's the reason I have a 3DS. Like, yeah.
So now we know what the Geek Awareness Fund is going to be
for.
Get Lydia a PS4.
Please help. It's a very, very needy cause.
Because I'm going to need for you to work on another promo. It's going to be for Lydia to get this PS4. We're going to need a Sarah McLachlan song. Let's work on this as soon as possible.
So. You got it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. So the last thing that we are going to talk about this year, let's talk about the final Shame Bell count. And should we do like going from most to least or least to most? Okay.
Least to most.
Well, first, hold on.
Yes.
That's tough. We should talk about like somebody who's like dead in the middle. First.
Why would we do that? Are you trying to make my OCD twitch?
I'm going to have to agree with Sabin on this one, Pickett. No,
To be fair, she has left me in charge of keeping track of this, so I think I get to choose, and we're going least to most. Thank you very much.
That's my girl.
Earning that employee of the month.
You know it.
Getting her a plaque and everything.
So if we're going with the bare minimum, then obviously Patrick wins, because he only has one. But if we're going by actual participation in the show, the least amount is 4. Pickett has 4. But I also think that's only because he's not been on as much as he should have been. So I think he's just been avoiding us so he doesn't get shamed. That's my theory.
Well, hold on a second. How many is the next person?
6.
Okay.
Now, real quick, before that 4, does that count the one that he got?
That counts the one tonight.
Okay. All right.
So I only had 3 before today.
Yes.
Yeah, but you were here today, therefore you got a shame.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been avoiding being around us just so you don't get shamed, so you could win.
Real talk, that's probably why he moved to Lincoln
in the first place. Yes.
You got it. You guys are lying to me. How did you guys know? We blew our entire budget to move to Lincoln just so I didn't get shamed.
Biggie, you need a financial planner, like, real bad.
Yeah, there's no joke in that.
So, who's next?
So the next one up is Tabitha. She has 6. I'm pretty sure she gave 2 of those to herself.
That sounds right.
After that is me. I had 8. I got one removed today, so I only have 7. Thank you very much. I am super proud of myself. Then we have Matt, who jumps ahead of us quite a bit. You have 21.
You're legal.
Good job.
Finally.
And then the one who surpasses us all, like our numbers combined do not add up to this number, we have Mitch with 52.
Weeks
and a black hole. And a black hole.
One for every week of the, or day. No, week of the year.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that Mitch's number is still more than twice the next person behind him.
Yeah. Congratulations. I hope you're proud of yourself.
I feel so honored. Like, I kind of want for somebody to make, like, one of those, like, little certificate things, you know? Like, man.
Mitch, I'm making one right now.
I was busy making a spreadsheet for you at work today. I didn't have time to make you a certificate.
Now the certificate, Pickett, like, are you just going to send me the PDF? Or are you going to, like, mail it to me?
No, I'm going to print you an actual... See, remember those, like, awards we had last year? I still have that paper.
Oh, fancy.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
Give it to him at the wedding.
Yes!
So now the shames, they restart, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we only started halfway through the year last time, so like the most from last year was 10. You still had the lead, but it was only 10. But we started from the beginning of the year this year, so that's all year. So now they restart.
Do we have the count from last year, out of curiosity?
Yeah, I actually do. Mitch was 10, Matt was 4, Tabitha was 1, you were 2, and I had none.
But we started pretty late in the year.
Yeah, we started in like July or August.
I'm doing a lot more freewheeling with my shames this year too.
So.
Well, you keep that going, Tabitha, because it's amazing.
I do what I can. I bring a little something-something. By something-something, I mean the shame.
Sometimes I steal it from you because I can't help myself.
Yeah, it's true.
So, all right.
By the way, I'm going to need custody of the shame bell. I miss it.
Well, you're going to have to come down here then, Pickett.
Done. I will be there.
Oh, yeah, and I still have your Christmas present. So you definitely need to come down here.
Sweet!
Before it turns into a wedding present, and it's, like, really awkward because it's just for Pickett.
just kidding, Ashley. Can I do that? Because that would be really funny.
just make it a wedding present. At this point, it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right, guys. So that's going to wrap it all up in a nice little bow.
Because it's Christmas. That still counts. You now have 53.
Yes.
So, from all of us here at the Geek Awakens, we would like to wish you a
Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday.
Oh, hey, I'm kidding.
And for the end of the year, you have broken Pickett.
I can't get proud of this.
This is so funny. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I don't know. This is so funny.
We'll be back after the new year.
I don't even know what's going on.
So,
oh my god.
That has warmed my heart.
Who needs children's laughter? We have Pickett.
Basically the same thing anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So, we'll be back after the new year, but in the meantime, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where we'll be posting news. While you're there, give some feedback and tell us what cool stuff you're missing out. Also, be sure to listen to 217radio.com for the best music of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From all of us at The Geek Awakens, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next year. Everybody, say bye.
Bye.
Bye.